Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. All right, today we are going to talk about nerve tension and what it means when you feel different sensations and really what you can do about it. But first of all, I think we need to answer the question of just what are nerves? Like, I think everyone's heard of them. What does it really mean?
So nerves are these big, long superhighways in our body that help us get messages around, basically. And they help us send, like when we have a stimulus or something touches us, a breeze blows, the nerves are what kind of catch that signal and shoot it up to the brain so we can perceive it and tell our body what to feel.
Exactly. So talk about mind-body connection. This is...
Yeah, this is it. And that's not only what nerves do. There's thousands, hundreds of thousands of different types of nerves that in our body that are built to perceive different things or tell us different messages, from pain to hot and cold to pressure to tingling to vibration. Everything kind of has these specific messengers that tell us exactly what to feel.
Exactly. So we have different highways along what we've probably heard of as well, our spinal cord, and the different messages that they're sending up to the brain in order to tell us like what we're feeling.
Right? Yeah. And nerves, again, they're part of the larger thing called the nervous system. And we have the central nervous system and the peripheral nervous system. Central nervous system starts with the brain, and it's kind of command control center. And in reality, it's all connected. It's all one big organism, one system, our nervous system. So we need to understand that what the brain does and what all the nerves do, they're all connected in this big like spider web.
Right. And it becomes peripheral when it's now coming outside of the trunk and the spinal cord, and it's now coming down to our arms and down to our legs. And it's like kind of peripherally what we can control a little bit more rather than just the signals that are being sent. But we do know that we have a bit more control over it all. And so that's what gives us power into the central nervous system to be able to control some of our systems in general and how they operate and what signals they are being told and how our body is responding to that. And it gives us a lot of power, which I think is really cool.
And so just basically nervous system tension is when it becomes a little more difficult for some of those nerves to have enough space to either move or to get the signals through how they're used to. And I worded that specifically because, again, tension, what's actually happening in the tissue, it is what it is. You know, it's hard for us to exactly like image it and see exactly what's happening, but we will feel it. So generally, we'll just start to feel this, what we call adverse neural tension, is when we start feeling symptoms related to these areas that our nerves aren't as able to transmit or don't have as much space to move and sense things how they normally do.
And this is when you'll usually feel it along a path, because a nerve is not just a muscle, right? It's moving through tissue, and it's connected from that spinal cord and then coming out all the way to our fingers. So sometimes it's like a line of pain that you might be feeling. So it could be different sensations in terms of, it could be pain, right? That's what you could be feeling. It could be sensations of like tingling, maybe numbness, sometimes burning. So if you've ever had any of these sensations, this is typically all related with nerve sensations.
It's like if you've been sitting on your leg for a long time and then you get up to move and you feel that like tingling or that kind of numbness, that muted sensation, like that's kind of what nerve tension would feel like, but more along a specific path, not like your whole entire leg or something.
Well, that's like you literally occluded, right? Our sensation down from that path because we're super tight.
So it's all the nerves. It's not just like one specific nerve path.
Or even think of hitting your funny bone. We're not actually hitting our bone. We're hitting our nerve that kind of comes out in that open area in the inside of that elbow. And that's our ulnar nerve. And so when you hit it, it usually shoots this like weird tingly kind of like
pretty sharp right away.
Sharp pain. Yeah. That's like, it doesn't feel good. You're not hitting a bone. You're hitting a nerve.
But if you think about it, when you do that, like what fingers do you feel then when you hit your funny bone? It's specific and pretty should be consistent every time. You should feel it in that pinky and a little bit in your ring finger, because the ulnar nerve supplies down into those two fingers pretty much on everybody. You know, so that's where once we start kind of dissecting, or if you get with somebody and feel like, oh, I feel this certain sensation in this specific area, they can start testing and being like, oh, it looks like here on this specific nerve path, you might be having some tension or some tension issues.
Yeah.
What exactly is, quote, causing that? That's where they can start to dissect into that a little bit further.
Yeah, exactly. So we do have, you know, special tests that we do as clinicians in order to rule out, you know, whether it is coming from the neck. Because like we said, it can come all the way from within those vertebrae, right? And so is it something that's happening from the neck or is it something that's happening further out down the road?
Like kind of a specific episode that we had recently was on sciatica. And really sciatica is a type of an issue where we would experience some neural tension, you know, right away. The thing that occludes the space is maybe a disc herniation or something, right? And then beyond that, even once the disc herniation isn't the most prevalent thing anymore, the tissue in that area might just be a lot more tense and causing us to have a lot less space to, again, perceive what's going on. That's why it's important for our nerves to move and be able to be dynamic. Really, we call these our neurodynamics, is so those nerves can get the messages through and do their purpose, right? So say we had that injury and now we have all that tension in that space. Anywhere downstream from that is also going to kind of struggle with those signals as well, because we've started to cut off the message all the way up near the spinal cord.
Right.
Versus if it's a little more peripheral.
Right, exactly. And that's why it is really important to work with a clinician who feels comfortable during doing a lot of these neurodynamic testing, because and different than just, you know, oh, I have this kind of sensation that you might be talking about down the arm or down the hand. I'm just going to do these general glides, right? Or this nerve flossing technique. And sometimes it could help. Sometimes it might not be what your body needs. And so working also with a professional who can say, okay, this, we're doing the special test to really understand that this is where your nerve tension is coming from and the reason that it's causing it. Because I think that's so important. Sometimes you could feel it in your hand thinking you have carpal tunnel, but it's really the neck that we need to be addressing. And there's different ways that we can kind of, you know, address that and really see what is the cause of the issue. And then sometimes it could be so aggravated that we don't want to necessarily start just doing nerve tensioning and flossing in that side that's affected.
Yeah. Nerves are kind of persnickety, meaning that like if we poke them too much and irritate them too much, then it might be hard to come back immediately and we might have some exacerbation or increasing of those symptoms for a few days. So again, that's where Jen will say, like, if you are having some pain or some nerve pain or have had some sciatica or something like that, maybe go get it checked out before we start yanking into the end ranges of these nerves, because they can be pretty sensitive. However, personally, I have loved, especially when I was an early clinician and I learned how to teach people how to gradually edge themselves into their nervous system tolerance. I found that it was so helpful for people to have that as a tool, to be able to just like, okay, I can access putting a little more tension into that nerve so that I can help it start to perceive things more normally rather than bombarding it with a lot more stress.
Exactly. And so we really are working on our signaling in what the body is interpreting when we work on nerve tensioning or neurodynamics. And so it is important that we start to address these within programming a little bit so that in general as well, and just start moving things before you start to feel tingling, before you start to feel any issues and numbness and pain and other things, because we don't want that body to be so sensitive. We want to be aware. We want to be, you know, have better signaling up to our brain and really be able to distinguish, is it stress or is it trauma, you know? Yeah. And being able to then start to dissect that in the body is really important. And overall, we just need to know as well, like your nerves can build up inflammation around them as well and decrease the movement in which they kind of glide through that tissue. And so if we don't move it as well, it starts to build up that inflammation and get a little bit stuck. And so this is why, again, just general movement is going to help to move those nerves as well.
Yeah, being how integrated the nervous system is with everything then contributes back into the amount of tension or the amount of overall stress on that nervous system. Like Jen mentioned, like when we're trying to decipher what's causing this stress or this nerve tension down my arm, sometimes we might just start talking to people about the stresses in their life, getting them breathing a little more easily, kind of dissecting how they're going to approach some things in their personal life. And they'll notice that tension start to come out of their arms or come out of their chest, and then we'll retest the tension at the end of the session. And just after some breathing and just mindfully talking through what's going on in life, we can bring down someone's nervous system tension in their arm, right? So like you said, that stress can directly increase, say, even if we did have something in our shoulder causing nervous system tension, the stress itself can then increase on top of that. So lots of things at play here, where Jen and I like to bring people back around to breathing, again, to lower that systemic stress around the nerves, because then it even might more help us tease out the specific spot we're
exactly
looking for.
Exactly. I love starting in that bigger systemic, especially when we're talking about the nerves, especially when we're talking about sensitivity and tingling and shooting pain, any of that kind of sensation. Are you getting sleep? Are you getting enough water? Are you managing your stress levels? And this can even just look like journaling when the sensations come on. Yeah. Or noting it in your phone. Like, I'm at work, it feels worse.
What am I doing? What have I been doing in the past hour? Like, pointing those things out to yourself. Well, I've been sitting the past hour. I jumped on my phone and got some messages that I was, you know, you can start to tease these things out that have been like, okay, maybe if that wasn't in my environment at that moment, I might have been set up for more success or less stress and pain in my nervous system.
Exactly. Or even, was it, you know, after you ate this huge meal the next day, maybe you noticed some changes in your sensation. It maybe felt a little worse. And you notice that if you kind of added more nutrients and stayed away from maybe a lot of the sugary stuff, it changes it. And I like to open this up to this, the whole aspect, because again, if we know that there's inflammation on the nerve, then if we just start attacking it from all areas, it's going to automatically start to get better. And then we can address, you know, other things.
I mean, it's a similar way to which we approach someone who has like a chronic or a persistent back pain. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just need to start teasing out the things throughout our day that we can take control over to reduce things overall. I think one thing that you love to bring up is that, say, we have a right arm or a right leg that's feeling a lot of this nervous system tension, and we try doing any of the little tighteners or glides that we're about to show you, and it's like, nope, it lights up that whole arm and you get symptoms. Maybe we just go over to the left side and do one of these tensioners on the left arm or left leg, and you still feel it into the right. Again, it's like a spider web. If we pull on the leftmost side of the spider web, it's going to tug all the way through the right side as well. So sometimes if we're way too hot, if our nervous system's too hot on one side to even mess around with it, we go to the left side and we'll get some crossover.
Exactly. And I think that is one of the most missed pieces. And even me as a clinician starting out, I always went to the affected side usually to kind of see, okay, where on a basic level can we start? But even more basic than that, like, let's move it back to the other side. Let's make sure the other side can even glide and move well before we go over to the really affected side. And I think that's such an important reminder for people, especially when we're talking about nerves. It's different than muscles, right? They're not going to just perform the same. It's not like turning on, turning off for different reasons. It is literally being affected through the line of tension. And that goes all the way over to the other side. So I think being so mindful of that is so incredibly important. And then we also get to realize too that, you know, nerves can get, they don't have to come from the spine. So it's not like a disc issue. It doesn't have to be like a stenosis where you're getting shortening of the area within the vertebrae. It could also be just tightness. So say you are on a computer all the time and your shoulders are always round and you're not doing much to kind of open up the chest or move into different positions, and the chest starts getting super tight. So an entrapment would be, my muscle tension is so taut that it's going to press down on that nervous tissue, and now the sensations coming out of from where that nerve would move from that pec is now going to be extra sensitive. And that could come down the elbow, that could come down along the hands and the fingers. I mean, so, or it could be entrapment under the elbow. It could be entrapment under the carpal tunnel. I mean, there's all these different places along, and this is kind of where we go into the episode that we did on thoracic outlet syndrome. And that was very early on. I want to say that was like episode 6 that we talked about thoracic outlet syndrome and how these different entrapments can lead to different sensations.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of mentioned it, which each of our major nerves, like the median nerve, ulnar nerve, radial nerve, those are the three major nerve branches in our arm. They can all get trapped at different points along the arm. Like the meat, you mentioned carpal tunnel. Carpal tunnel is when our median nerve is having issues getting signals right through this wrist area, mm-hmm. right? And then that'll primarily present with symptoms, those nervy type symptoms, like we said, at the wrist and into the hand a little bit. But again, that same median nerve can get trapped elbow and shoulder. So why don't we start to kind of show a few things, arms and legs, that can help people explore putting tension into these different areas. One other way that we can kind of perpetuate different nerve tension would be having injury to just tissue. We kind of mentioned, like, if you had a hamstring strain, or say you hurt your ankle or something, and then the inflammation and the healing process from that injury, again, will change up the environment around our nerves, might cause different adhesions and stuff like that, and could cause some of that tension.
Exactly. Like a lot of people I know, when they get like kind of pinchiness or anything in the shoulder, sometimes they'll report like the pain kind of shoots down my arm. And it's not that, you know, the whole muscle along your arm is now affected. It's just that extra sensation is causing some tension, or whatever is happening on that nerve is saying like, ooh, we don't feel good. And so it's kind of reverting down the pathway of that arm or down the pathway of that leg or whatever it may be. And it's not necessarily, again, an entrapment, but it's an irritation to a specific muscle that's causing that sensation.
Another one that we kind of have brought up is, say it's from a disc herniation or something that directly is going to traumatize that nerve, mm-hmm. or any sort of blunt trauma. I mean, if you fall, if you break an arm, and it disrupts kind of how that nerve is sending messages. Again, a broken arm's a big traumatic injury that the nerve is going to need to recover from. So there's going to be a lot to sort out after that.
If we pull like a baby's arm, or like someone that's still developing, and that arm gets pulled really quickly, sometimes that could cause some tension at that brachial plexus, which is just where the nerves kind of come out of the neck and under the armpit area. And that can cause some damage around the nerve as well. And in general, nerves take how long to regenerate?
I think that I've heard, I don't know, you hear all sorts of things like a millimeter a day or something like that.
A millimeter a month.
So a long time.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while for that to, and what we mean by a millimeter a month is like a millimeter down your arm that you'll be able to feel, or a millimeter of the nerve length. Again, if you've had a nerve trauma and you wake up and can't feel your arm at all, like you should gain back a millimeter down that arm. I don't know the exact amount of time. I don't know what study that's based on.
And all of that to say, it takes time and having patience with your body, and knowing that it's not all consistent. For some people, it might all come back. For some people, sensation might be a little bit off. And I think people who've had surgery can kind of understand that experience of like, oh, I'll never be able to feel this like tension around, or this area around my knee.
And that goes into a whole nother talk about neuroplasticity and how well our nervous system can change and learn. And that is affected by so many different things. Yep. I mean, that could be a whole nother few episodes about, how well our nerves learn throughout life and how that can change and how we can influence our nervous system to learn better.
So now when we talk about specifics of neurodynamics, there's two main groups that we can go into. There's always like different levels along these groups. But in general, we're looking at, can we slide the nerve through the tissue? So kind of taking one end of your hand and then rotating the head to the same side. So kind of, you know, they're all going together, one side and then the other, one side and then the other. Where tensioning is going to be, I'm going to take my hand and my head and they're going to go against each other. And then I'm going to have more of like a pulling sensation at my nerve. And this is not bad. I mean, tension, load, it all helps our body to grow, gain awareness, and get better. But it is definitely a more extreme. And you don't want to start with tensioning. You want to start with more of the sliding exercises.
And again, like these, we're acting like if you do it one way, you're only going to be sliding versus tensioning. Like it's not like you're pulling a rope from one end or the other and it's neatly sliding through all these little holes. Like that's not how it works. But based on where you do the movement from, you can feel it at different places along the nerve path. Like just on a basic one, if we're trying to stretch our median nerve, like one of the ways to do it is start with your hands right out in front of you with your hands together. And then basically you're going to open your hands up like you're just opening up wide to give someone a hug. And when you get to the end, you're going to start to open up your hands or wrist, and you should feel it kind of down all the way through your hand into the end of your middle finger. And if we're just working on tensioning, just leave your head still to start, right? Don't move it at all. And that would be kind of the tensioning versus the slide, which is where Jen told you to start. So if you're going to start with the slide, when you extend that wrist back, you're going to want to put your head towards that hand. Because again, then we're kind of moving the trunk from where we're tugging at towards the fingers, rather than leaving it still, which would be the next thing you do to kind of work on just tensioning. And then even tilting that head away and then doing the same thing. And I mean, if you're watching on YouTube, we'll probably have some videos that'll show it a little bit better, but that is just an easy way to start putting a little bit of tension into what we'd call the median nerve.
And it's really just exploration too. Exploration yeah. of what's happening along our nervous system is a great place to start. But we also have to realize that when we go into this, like even us as therapists, when we're starting to just like kind of test this on people, they're usually lying down on a table. So they're flat and stable. We usually pull down the shoulders so that again, we have some shoulder stability and then we move the arm. So if you're doing it standing and you don't really have, if you're bent over, if you're rounded, if you're kind of cranked in your neck, if you're, you know, it definitely can change what we're going, what signal we're going to be putting out, or what tension or what slide we're going to be putting out. And so there's just so many different ways to start to explore. And this is why it's not like, yes, we want you to explore into the nerves, but we also want to know how that changes when I move my body, how that changes when I move my back, my spine, my neck. And, you know, this is some of the mobility flows that we explore in the optimal body, because we want to know, like, if I mobilize my back, do I get more freedom, you know, out into my fingers and out into my hand, out into my nerves, and kind of playing the role of incorporating this whole body system is just what we always talk about. So it's more functional and not just so static.
Yeah. A lot of the times when I would have people having like these nerve symptoms down their arm and stuff, I would get the biggest change when we did some like mobilizations to their back or their neck and worked on the shoulder blade a little bit. And then all of a sudden you free up that whole kind of system or that line down that side. And it changes things so much, which is where Jen and I always talk about kind of this intersegmental interdependence of the segments or whatever, which they all kind of depend on what the other does in how they function.
Exactly. And so continuing to explore what your body is able to do and how that all responds together. Remember, again, nerves are a little bit more, what do you like to use? Persnickety. Yeah, there you go.
Good word.
So understanding and playing along with that, and we're not exasperating anything. We're not holding anything for nerve tension for a long time. We're exploring it. We're pulling out of it. We're exploring it. We're pulling out of it. And we're listening. If I do it 5 times and I increase my symptoms, I'm not doing it again. I think that's really important to note too.
Okay. So before we wrap up, just kind of going over a couple more ways in which you might be able to feel this. An easy one, if you're just kind of sitting, to feel for your lower or your lower extremity, your leg, is to kick that leg out straight, right? And if your toes kind of pointing away from you to start and you don't feel anything, you're like kind of pull those toes towards you. As soon as you kind of start feeling it up into your calf and into the back of your knee, that's where we know, okay, that's not my hamstring stretching. All I did was kind of flex my ankle towards me. That is you starting to tug on that sciatic nerve, right? And how we can increase the tension is just to gently kind of round our back down and chin towards our chest. Then again, kick that up, pull that toe towards us. And to test different branches of that sciatic nerve, we would point the toe away from us and inward, or away from us and outward, away from our body. So again, just based on the different branches of the sciatic nerve, you might feel that differently down through your leg.
Yeah. And it really does feel good when you kind of work on these different areas. We do it in the optimal body, and it's just, I always feel so much better after I've like addressed all the nerves around my leg or all the nerves through my arms and different areas. It just, it helps to free things up and just continue to explore. Thank you again for joining us on yet another PT Pearl. We just appreciate you so much. And of course, if you need more visuals for each PT Pearl, they are over at DocGenFit on YouTube. There is a whole section for the PT Pearls from the Optimal Body Podcast that you can use to really see what we're talking about. And don't forget, if you really like this, if you're learning from it, share it out, share it with your community, tell us what you're learning, rate and subscribe to the episode, because there's going to be so many more goodies and PT Pearls along the way. And if you're ready to dive in even deeper, don't forget, we have an Optimal Body membership with an incredible community of movers learning with us and moving in their body. Until next time, thank you again.